All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Thursday, September 15th. I'm a very sick Doug Norrie, and that is...
Yo, James Davis, man. Yeah, and you mad sick, Doug. Yeah.
That doesn't make me feel better, but at least made me smile. We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Head over and grab our MLB projections for FanDuel and DraftKings that include optimal lineups powered by Lineup Lab. And if you grab that subscription right now, you can also, it also includes our NFL subscription, which projections optimal lineups, Player Lab for DraftKings and FanDuel. So you get it all under one, package. Right now, there's a free trial for a couple days, and then it's $29.95 a month after that, and you are all set for the end of baseball season, the beginning, and all through NFL. Really all you need to get yourself started or to maintain your winning ways in DFS. All right, buddy, I'm going to power through this. You know why? Because I'm a hero, okay? And even though I took yesterday's podcast off because I was sick. So
yeah, wasn't as heroic.
not heroic yesterday. I just simply couldn't do it.
Well, heroes know their limitations, Doug. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see Batman trying to lift the world up on his shoulders. You know, that's a Superman thing. So
coincidentally, I spent a lot of the day watching Justice League cartoons with my kid because I also didn't have energy to do anything else. So I'm pretty well.
You're even parents. So you sit around all day. You don't even do any parenting with your kid. Then you come on and make excuses and skip the podcast. What's going on, man?
Well, my wife flew to, and no one cares about this, but my wife leaves for San Francisco for a week and the opening week of NFL with me, and it just leaves me, my daughter, and all the work that needs to be done for the website.
Say nothing of all the excuses she left you behind with, too.
Fair enough. Let's just get into baseball. All right. So we have a two-game early slate that – let me just read you some of the names of the pitchers we have going on this two-game, and then you can just give me your flat-out gut reaction to this. Mike Pelfrey, Hector Santiago, Mike Clevinger, and James Shields. Those are your pitching options if you're playing the early only. That is what you're staring down at. Now you can on FanDuel, if you go into their app, you see those first four pitchers because they're probable, but then the next guy is Kluber. So you might be just like he's the first if you haven't unchecked the show only probable pitchers, you can actually just like make yourself feel better and just like, I don't know, go to the next guy down, which is Kluber. Now you're gonna pay a little more, and he's probably gonna get you a zero. But is that better than what the four guys you have going out there today?
Well, arguably, I mean, several of these guys have put up multiple negative scores in their last five games. I mean, Clevinger probably tops the group in terms of, you know, he's got only a couple of zeros there, so maybe he's the guy you want to go for if you want to talk about a high floor here. Shields has a -2, a -12, and a -17 in his last seven starts.
Okay.
Did manage a zero against Detroit in the start before that, so maybe he's got a little bit better upside. I don't know. It's kind of tough to say.
Santiago's got a -4 and a -3 in that game log in the last five games.
This is what I mean. You just can't play these guys. You can't play the slate. If you do, you're just asking for trouble. That being said, you can't analyze these pitchers, right?
No.
Who has the upside? Clevinger, does he have upside? Because he's got like a 1K per inning out of the bullpen or whatever this season.
I only brought it up to highlight how bad it was, not to really make a case for it. I think this is the one, if you are playing it, I will not be, but if you are playing the slate, I would suggest this is a time where, you know, in our system, you can, or on our tools, you can unclick whether you want to have your pitcher facing the batters that they're facing, yes, like in your lineup. This is a time where you actually should unclick that and just have it just be whoever the top raw points guys are. And don't worry about if like Brian Dozier's facing, you know, the guy that you have on the mound, or, you know, if you for some reason started Mike Pelfrey or whatever, like don't worry about that part of it. And just call it a day. Again, this is not a slate I'm going to personally be playing, but I thought it was just worth it to mention that I would think unless it was Renato starting for the White Sox, this is probably the worst four pitching matchup guys you could have of this group. Like there's almost no worse combination than these four.
And cut to James Shields being like, look at me, I'm not the worst pitcher on my own team.
Oh, king of the castle, RA. King of the castle. Oh. All right, let's move into the 7 o'clock. You're making me feel better already, buddy. Move into the 7 o'clock slate. A little bit more interesting, though not too terribly interesting. Still some pitching problems here. Who's jumping out to you in terms of guys taking the bump, if there's anyone even remotely safe in cash?
I mean, this is a guy that we've thrown out there as a rather uninspiring but reasonable option in the past, and it's Johnny Cueto. I mean, Cueto's price has come down quite a bit. And at 9,600, he still obviously doesn't possess the big-time K upside that you want out of like a true ace, but, you know, he goes deep into games on account of having excellent control. He's been quite good recently, even, I mean, two very tough matchups at Chicago, at Arizona, and was pretty much excellent in both of those. So to me, I mean, the Cardinals are another bad matchup for right-handed pitching. They stack a lot of good left-handed bats, a lot of good power bats, but I think that it's a very reasonable shot to take in Cueto's home park. You know, it's going to be quite a bit better than Busch Stadium. And, you know, it's a small slate, limited options. So that's where my eyes go immediately.
Yeah, Cardinals on the year fourth in WOBA against righties, and that's non-park adjusted. So they're probably even a little better than that, considering the two of the teams above them are the Red Sox and Rockies and Orioles, or three of the teams that all play in much, much better parks. So if you were to adjust that for park, they'd probably tick above at least the Orioles. I'm not sure if they would be able to climb all. They probably actually don't. They definitely would be above the Rockies too. So they might actually be in like that first or second range of teams against righty pitching this year, which is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. I would probably wouldn't have guessed it to be that high for them, but like you said, have a couple guys at the top of the order, Carpenter, Moss, even if they have Adams in there, that do have power upside. So yeah, this is not a situation that I love trotting Cueto out there in, though the problem is the dip from him down to the next really relevant guy, which I would probably think is like Rich Hill, is not necessarily make you excited either. So this whole day strikes me as just like, oof, you know, kind of grin and bear it, or maybe just take it off. I'm not positive. Rich Hill is a guy. I mean, can you consider him going in chase?
I am going to look at Rich Hill, and I'll talk about that in a second. I do want to throw in one more point about Cueto today. That game has a 7 total, and 89% of the bets have come in on the under today. So, you know, and against Adam Wainwright, who's been very, very up and down this season, I have to think that the Vegas and the sharps betting in Vegas are seeing something that maybe the casual fan doesn't there. So I think I'm pretty much all over Cueto for cash games. So Rich Hill, though, I think
real quick, pause real quick. I just want to clarify something. I think that the 65, that the majority of the money coming in on the over or the under came in when it was 7.5 and it came down to 7. Like, I don't think they're still hammering the under at 7. I think those under bets took it down the half a run total.
Do you have to try to embarrass me by correcting me on the air? Is that a thing? Can we just be professionals here and just have you be like, yep.
Professionals are open and honest.
Great point. Let's move on.
Professionals are open and honest about their process, you know? Well, I could have stopped.
No, not.
That's true. You're right.
Did you ever listen to the radio? Did you guys ever admit a mistake?
Great point. All right, Rich Hill.
Thanks for hitting me. Rich Hill. I think, I mean, he's looking as good as he has at any point in his career. So it's really hard to bet against Rich Hill right now. So the last three matchups, he's been obviously phenomenal. Of course, famously getting pulled in the middle of a perfect game against Miami. And I mean, the game against San Diego before that wasn't too terrible either. He's now up to 3 total base runners, no earned runs, 17 strikeouts in his last 13 innings. So the guy's doing something right. That being said, getting pulled after 89 pitches in the middle of a perfect game has got to put your hackles up a little bit, right? I mean, it's going to be tough for him to maintain putting up great fantasy totals on a 10,000 salary if he can only throw 6 innings, you know? So,
well, that's the major red flag for him, right? Like, if they're going to pull him in that situation, which is the one of the very, very few situations you just let a guy go a little longer, right? Like, 90 pitches for, you know, a shot in the history books, and they're in the yank him at 90, that much might be his pitch count, and you just simply cannot. If you're going to pitch 90 pitches, you're such a dog to hit value at those prices.
Yep, exactly. And Arizona is going to be the worst park by far of any of those that he's pitched in recently, and the Diamondbacks themselves, bad matchup too. So I think that it's probably a stay away. I mean, he's going to be like, as much as there can be, probably like a chalk big tournament play, just because I think people aren't going to read between the lines there. I'm not going to bother just because I don't really see. It's hard to imagine a lot of upside for him isn't already priced in, right? I mean, 7 innings, like, he will not pitch 7 innings again this season unless they stretch him out further. So I just don't see. I don't know. I don't know what you're gaining. Where's your edge when you're playing Rich Hill?
And I don't think they're going to stretch him out because his issues aren't arm related. They're blister related. And I think that they're trying to just maintain to get him into the playoffs where he just doesn't have this, because that blister thing sidelined him for like a long time. And yeah, I think they see that simply as a repetitive thing for him where, like, you know, he just can't go out there and throw 105 pitches, or at least not right now for whatever reason, like the grip on the ball or whatever it is that's causing that blister. Sure. So yeah, I just think this is a clear fade to me actually in looking at it more, only because, like you said, so much would need to go right for him to, assuming that, us reading between the lines on these things is correct, you know? I mean, they might have had internal discussions where they're like, it's go time, 105 pitches, you know? And then,
but even if they are, I mean, again, the Diamondbacks, yeah, they strike out a lot, so that's obviously really plays well to Hill's skill set. But they're the best team in the league against lefties this season. So it's not like you're, again, getting away with anything by, if you think you're the only one who knows he's going to throw 105 pitches and you sneak him in there, like, you haven't really done anything like that exciting. And again, yeah, he could be great in a, especially in a big tournament, but you know, and he and Cueto are kind of polar opposites in a lot of ways, because Cueto's kind of solid but unspectacular. Hill has been both solid and spectacular, but I think there's real downside here today, and I think there's no reason to play him in cash games, frankly.
Of the other pitchers on the slate, I'm just going to kind of reel them off here in terms of salary. Tanaka at 90, this is FanDuel, Tanaka at 96, Happ at 88, Wainwright at 88, Eichhoff at 8,000. I mean, is there anything to see here? This I probably just in the tone of my voice, you could say that you can know how I feel here. But I mean, of any of the, are any of those guys even worth mentioning? I'm not, cash even for tournaments? Like, I'm not sure. You know, where we, what is there even anything to see here?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's certainly for big tournaments. Tanaka actually coming off a start where he went 7 innings and had 10 Ks against the Rays. So, and you know, following that up, he had 9 strikeouts against a tough Angels team, or at least a tough team to strike out there. In Boston, no one's going to play him. Boston's a great offense. You're not excited necessarily from like a value perspective or from a safety perspective at all, but just a guy who no one is going to look at, I don't think, for big tournaments based on the matchup. But Rich Hill has, you know, a worse matchup. And both of them, I think, have similar K upside, given that you can pencil Tanaka in for, you know, 11%, probably more pitches today. If you're just throwing shots in the dark and playing a big money guy in a big tournament that you don't think a lot of people will play, I think you get more separation from Tanaka for a similar amount of upside, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. After that, I think these pickings are pretty darn slim. It's really hard to imagine anyone else. I mean, it's a very, very small slate, so you're not really picking between a lot of different guys, but none of these cheap guys are very exciting for me. In fact, most of them are quite bad, and they're bad and they don't have much upside. So it's like, you're not really doing anything too interesting. I guess one guy, I mean, you can call him an exception to the rule, would be Mike Montgomery. He's at least a good pitcher, but he's only pitched 5 innings, 87 pitches in this exact matchup the last time out against Milwaukee. So I don't know. I don't think you're really doing anything too interesting by playing big tournaments today. I think cash games are probably where the smart money's at.
No, I think there's a slight case for a guy like Jay Happ. He's about an 8K per 9 guy, 4 xFIP, which is like, I don't know, whatever. The xFIP's not as good as the ERA, so he's not a 3.3 ERA guy for sure, but he's not a bad pitcher. The Angels really aren't that great a team. He gets a huge park upgrade. He's a nice money line on the day. Actually, the over-under has moved in. The run line, the Angel run line has moved in Happ's direction, which is good. Like, Angels, I only have him for 3.6 implied runs right now, which is, I think, about the best you're looking at today outside of Cueto versus the Cardinals. So there's like a slight case there for me for him. He is...
I mean,
not
even that, though,
like, guy.
Angels league average, basically, in terms of WOBA against lefties, and the worst team in the league to face if you want to strike guys out. So,
oh, don't get me wrong.
Happ's already a guy who kind of gets by on grit and guile, and it's really hard to imagine him doing anything like a strikeout per inning if you want him for a big tournament.
I'm mentioning him only relative to the field here. Like, if this was a normal Thursday or a full slate, I wouldn't even have brought his name up. But because the other options after these guys, now you really start getting into weird territory. Archie Bradley, Chad Kuhl, Eduardo Rodriguez, you know, yeah. Giovanni Gallardo. These names are, and there's more. I'm just leaving some of them off. So it's just more just that there just aren't, you know, there aren't the horses to pick from today. And maybe that's the sign. Maybe that's the sign to say, hey, I'll just enjoy a nice little Thursday night. I'll watch a little football, even though the football game stinks. We'll get to that in our NFL podcast. But maybe you just say to yourself, maybe this just isn't the night for me, or maybe I just want to fire off some bullets in a couple tournaments and call it a day, because it's going to be a real dicey situation relying on maybe Cueto, you know, to anchor your cash games, or on DraftKings, Cueto plus someone else. You know, you need to figure out who else you're going to roster along with him, or just whatever two pitches you're going to combo deal into being able to put together a cash lineup. That is striking me as maybe not the direction I want to go. Let's look at, oh God.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. One more throw on the pitcher strategy for the day. There are occasionally days, it doesn't happen too often, where you can just get by on picking a guy who's not going to stink, and today might be that day, and that might be a reasonable play from that perspective, where you don't need more than a strikeout per inning. You just need the guy who gets the win and doesn't, you know, post just a terrible line. And Hap can certainly do that for you. Last time he faced the Angels, he only made it five innings, but he did strike out six guys in those five innings. So, you know, it's not like the Angels, and that was in Toronto, so much, much worse park. I think it's a reasonable play. And you know, there might be upside there based on the contrarian nature of it and the fact that it's hard to find anyone else who's good at all.
Yeah, actually, and the more thinking about it, I'm wondering if it even will be contrarian. I don't know. I think you'll just see some of these pitching percentages sort of even out across people not knowing what the hell to do. Let's take a look at a couple of the offenses. You know, usually when we're talking about the pitching being rough across the board, it usually goes the opposite way with bats because a lot of these guys are, you know, by the nature of they're not being any good pitchers, the bats are in some good shape today. Are there a couple stacks that stand out to you, just for starters, where they seem like this might be a way for me to go, especially in cash games, to start? Is there a team that jumps out to you?
Yeah, I mean, when I was looking through this morning in preparation for the podcast, it jumped out to me that the Cubs' prices on FanDuel in particular seem pretty low today. You know, they've got Jimmy Nelson, who's definitely no great shakes, one of the highest totals on the day. And, like, Rizzo at 3,600 seems wrong. Bryant, 3,800. Even Jason Hayward, if you want to go barrel diving with him again, 2,400. Those are all very, very reasonable and a great core to start building your lineup around. Obviously, like, one of the better offenses of this decade. And nice matchup with Nelson. So I think that's kind of the foundational piece that I'm going to be building lineups around today.
No, I think that's definitely the way to go. There's no line on that game yet, so I have it set sort of at 8 with Cubs as a slight favorite. It actually probably ends up becoming a little higher than that. It probably opens up around that 8.5 range just because the pitching matchup just isn't that great. But again, we always have to wait on Vegas and the Cubs because they just refuse to release anything until everyone's, you know, licked their finger and stuck it up in the air and figured out where the wind is blowing out in Wrigley. But I think Cubs and, you know, what do you think about the Dodgers today? Cause that's another team that's coming in with a high expected run line.
I actually really like the Dodgers a lot today. Archie Bradley is a guy who's been very, very up and down. But the main reason is that the Dodgers getting away from their home park and going to Arizona is just kind of a night and day level shift. So, you know, I think you can grab a bunch of their lefties and get a ton of value.
Yeah, Utley, Seager, Turner's a reverse splits guy. Adrian Gonzalez, that top of the lineup.
Yasmani Grandal in a pinch. I mean,
yeah, I don't think you're going to see our optimal lineups get too far away from the Cubs and Dodgers today, simply because, you know, just those expected runs are so much higher than the next possible team. Like, I have the Cubs at I have the Dodgers at 5.31, and even without the opening line on the Cubs, I have them at 4.8, and that I'm almost guaranteed I'm low on that one. So I think that all things considered, you're not going to see too many plays outside of those two teams. Those are a couple other interesting teams here.
Yeah, a potential exception I was going to say would be the Blue Jays facing someone named Daniel Wright, who's pitching for the Angels. Just kind of a classic September call-up speed bump guy that a professional lineup like the Blue Jays could crush even away from home. So I wouldn't mind. I definitely don't mind stacking him for big tournaments, and I think there's a lot of value there. Obviously grabbing Bautista, those guys at the top of the lineup stacking, that could be a real beatdown.
Yeah, you know, the Blue Jays take a little hit because I think Donaldson is either on the DL or headed to the DL with a couple of different ailments. So if you see Saunders batting second again, I really like that move up the lineup for him. They've been shifting around the top of the lineup a little bit, though it would make sense for them to try to get a lefty to break up the righty string. I mean, it doesn't make sense when you have Donaldson there because he's such a good hitter, but when you get him out of the lineup, then it starts to make sense to go something like, you know, Travis or Bautista and then Saunders and then Encarnacion, or, you know, whoever didn't bat there, like if Bautista moves to third. Yeah. So I would love the lineup move up for a guy like Saunders. At only 3,000 on FanDuel, he's a pretty, pretty solid value against Wright.
Exactly. Yep. And then I think around those three teams, you're just going to see kind of a mix and match of value guys. There's certainly room for guys to crop into the optimal lineup as the day progresses and early call-up guys get a shot at, you know, not early call-up guys, September call-up guys get a shot towards the top of the lineup. But I think for right now, it's kind of looking like Cueto and then kind of a mid-range, you know, guys in the 3,000s, just good values, good matchup sort of day.
I have a question for you. Why do you think, so, you know, we model some off Vegas run lines, not all, but it's definitely baked in there into our projection model. The Royals are a team that right now I have them for 5.01. So I mean, that's about as high as the Blue Jays. It's even a little higher than the Cubs. and a little lower than the Dodgers. 5.01 implied runs, and yet no Royals players really show up anywhere around here. Why do you you know, do you think you can speak to that at all? And why, like, you know, Vegas likes them for a lot of runs, but our system just doesn't want any part of it. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's easy to understand why Vegas likes them. Obviously, Daniel Mengden is a rare case in terms of being incredibly, incredibly bad. So that's, I think, the starter for Vegas. I mean, I think when it comes to the Royals themselves, it mostly amounts to a lack of very exciting upside plays. You know, a lot of their guys are in the steady but unspectacular camp, like Eric Hosmer, Alex Gordon, even Sal Perez. And yeah, while these guys can, you know, occasionally splash in a good game, you know, Kendrys Morales comes to mind as a guy with fairly big upside. The Royals being a team that's fairly steady, I think it just winds up happening that they're priced somewhat fairly. So even though, you know, they haven't won any of their last few games, they did have some guys that had really, really big performances that have buoyed their prices. So you look at guys like Kendrys Morales or Eric Hosmer. Like, Morales had a stretch where he had 5 home runs in 7 games. Hosmer had a nice hot streak in there as well around that same time. So it's just one of those things where the prices have crept up and they're no longer values, even in a good matchup.
No, yeah, right. So, like, you look at the situation where you're like, okay, well, on FanDuel, I can get Rizzo for $3,600 or Hosmer for $3,400. To me, it's just not even close in that realm, right? So you're.
No, Rizzo against Jimmy Nelson, like, it doesn't matter who Hosmer's against. If you're going to get Rizzo against Jimmy Nelson for $3,600, the system's not going to see him.
Right.
And so that's a good point, too. It's straight up competition at their positions, like the positions of the reasonable plays. Are just not, you know, both Morales and Hosmer are both first basemen. You're just not going to play these guys.
So, right. So you get like Hosmer 34, but then you have like Adrian Gonzalez at 32. And even that's a better situation. So I think that's the reason you end up seeing these prices become a little bit lower. Now them not showing up in lineups as much. That being said, I do think that the Royals make an interesting stack today because, like you said, Mengden is terrible. And that's just the kind of matchup you want, that if you think you can pile on runs early, this is the kind of guy you can do it against. And they have some interesting guys, like the guys you mentioned, Jared Dyson at the top of the lineup. He'll steal some bases. Those stolen bases are really almost too heavily weighted on both sites.
You're looking for actual performance, sure.
Right. And so, like, those stolen bases really add up. Like, if you have a guy that can steal one, I mean, and Dyson has had a two steal game in the last, he's had a couple of them actually in his last 10 to 15 games, and he's stolen bases in, I don't know, 75% of the recent game log or something like that. That's a ton of points. And like I said, like those stolen bases really add up. You can stack speed in tournaments. It feels weird to do. Typically, you're chasing that home run upside, which makes sense. But there is a case, like Dee Gordon was like this last night. He was in one of the reasons we were able to sort of get through the Jose Fernandez issue, because Gordon stole 3 bases. And it was just something he had been, no pun intended, running bad on recently, just mostly because he couldn't get
that pun. We talked about that how his OBP stood to rise based on BABIP issues, and
right, and they
set
him loose.
Make up a huge game.
They set him loose last night, and he had an enormous game. And so the guy Dyson is sort of in that same realm where if he can just get on base. Now, of course, getting on base is his primary issue. 329 OBP. Royals have trouble understanding like who should hit leadoff for them. Like, guys that get on base a lot should hit leadoff. They have notoriously not understood that. But anyway, you know, Dyson 27 steals on the year and only 292 plate appearances. That's a pretty great number. So he's a guy that I don't mind throwing out there, even for cash, honestly, at 2,700 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And the steals guys are really interesting. It's something we've written about on a theory level on the site before, but you almost stack them with themselves, right? So like, if they just get on base, then that leads to steals, which leads to runs, and they become like this points engine. And of course, if they don't get on base, they just don't do anything. Like, they're pretty unlikely to bail you out with just like, you know, one home run or anything like that. But yeah, they can put up big totals when they're seeing eye singles or finding holes. So I think he's a great recommendation for any format.
Yeah, I think that like pretty much wraps it up for the day. I hate to just kind of call the ball on a not so enticing slate of games. Short Thursday, like we said early on, the two game early afternoon is about as gross as it gets. For me, total stay away, unless you like a nice laugh and just want to hope that one of your pitchers can go out there and just kind of luck box his way into his best game, though it doesn't seem likely for any of these guys. And then on the evening, a couple pitching issues, nothing really standing out to us. And the teams we've mentioned that are interesting stacks today, Toronto, the Cubs, the Dodgers, and possibly even the Royals, if you want to just grab something against a bad matchup. Anything else? Any final parting shots for you, buddy?
Yeah, not really. I mean, there really aren't just a ton of great options. So I think that it's one of those games where you hope that people make bigger mistakes than you're inevitably going to make.
and sometimes just making the mistakes to be made is just, you know, over-investing in a slate that just doesn't really stand out to you as having, you know, not all groups of games are created equally, right? And we need not view them all equally. And that's one of the things to take into account when you're, you know, staring at your bankroll and deciding if this is a good spot to put your, you know, your typical buy-in, you know, on the line. And to me, it doesn't strike me as that kind of day. People view these things differently. I know some people view these kind of situations as great tournament days. That's not exactly how I roll, but, you know, to each their own. This day is not really jumping out to me in any way, shape, or form. Buddy.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And I think, you know, again, short slates do open people up to bigger mistakes, including those of us who are hopefully on the winning end of situations like this. And I think it's important for you to analyze where you think your edge comes from today. Like, are you thinking you're going to beat the people who play Rich Hill because he's not going to hit his pitch count? Are you thinking people are going to take too big a risk on pitching or not understand the proper stacks to make? Like, if you can make a convincing case for yourself as you see the buzz going around on social media or, you know, the potential plays that people are going to make and you think you can beat them, then by all means, go for it. I think today is going to wind up being so chalk with the Cubs stack and the affordable pricing and even the Dodgers stack, frankly. And I don't think many people are going to talk themselves away from Cueto. So I think that playing Hill probably isn't that big a mistake anyway, even if you wind up going in that direction, that I just don't really see where the huge edge comes from. So I will likely be in the watching football camp as well.
Yep. Daily Fantasy Sports Ranking is the site, DFSR.com for short. Head over, grab a free trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, where you can one button click optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, MLB, and NFL, all included under the same package. And on NFL, we have our brand new Player Lab, where you can pick out different trends, different queries based on, you know, Vegas over-unders, defense versus position, the way the game script's going to unfold, really everything you need to get yourself started in NFL as well, which crushed last week. Looking for a good week too. We're going to go do an NFL podcast now as well, so check that out. Buddy, enjoy Thursday football and maybe a little baseball, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
You bet, man. Bye.